Quantitative methods, time series forecasting. Quantitative forecasting uses mathematical formulas to predict future results based on past trends. Two basic categories are time series and associative. Time series forecasting is more commonly used because the methods are less complex mathematically and thus easier to explain to decision makers. Time series methods assume that the factors that influence the past will continue on into the future. When that trend is unlikely to be stable, associative forecasting may be needed. There are a number of types of time series forecasting, ranging from the very simple to the relatively complex. Naive forecasting is the simplest. It assumes that the last period's demand will be this period's forecast. It can be cost-effective, but does not account for trends, and any random spike or trough in demand would be carried forward. The naive method is not discussed further in this text. Other time series methods include the simple moving average, the weighted moving average, and exponential smoothing. We'll examine these in a moment, but first we'll look at some of the steps in time series forecasting. Visualizing. Visualizing the data is an important part of forecasting because you can often spot seasonality or other trend or cycle information very quickly and decide how best to forecast. Exhibit 1-31 shows some visualized raw data for a product with strong demand in the winter months and very low demand in the summer months. Exhibit 1-31. Visualize the raw data. In this case, the data for 3 years were placed in Microsoft Excel TM, and one of the features was used to generate a chart automatically. An additional option was selected to automatically calculate the linear trend, shown as the dotted line. It is slightly upward sloping. However, the waves are very strong, showing strong seasonality. A time series forecast done during a seasonal upswing would predict this upswing to keep on going upward, while your visual review clearly shows that the upswing will very likely go to a downswing in a predictable manner. The seasonality needs to be removed, deseasonalizing, or the results will be of little use. Deseasonalizing. The process of deseasonalizing data involves generating a seasonal index. Calculating a seasonal index requires several years' worth of data for seasonality that occurs over an annual period. The data used to create the chart in Exhibit 1-31 are shown in Exhibit 1-32 below, along with the calculations required to find the seasonal index. Exhibit 1-32. Creating a seasonal index. If you would like to experiment with an interactive version of the worksheet used as a running example for both time series forecasting and error calculations, download the forecasting model spreadsheet from the Resource Center. The index is calculated as follows, using monthly time buckets with 3 years of data. Other time periods and buckets could be used instead. Calculate the month average for each month. The month average is the sum of each year's results for a given month divided by the number of years. For example, January results for year 1, year 2, and year 3 are summed and divided by 3 to find the month average of 31 units. This is then done for each of the other months. Calculate the year average, sum the 12-month averages, and divide by 12. In the example, this is 168 twelfths equals 14 units. This year average is deseasonalized because it averages out the rise and fall in sales. Calculate the seasonal index. Divide each month average by the year average. In Exhibit 1-32, the seasonal index for January is 31/14 equals 2.214. This is repeated for each other month. Note how the months with higher than average demand have an index over 1.0, while months with lower than average demand have an index of less than 1.0. The general formula for calculating the seasonal index is, the next step in the deseasonalization process is to apply the seasonal index to the raw data, which will result in deseasonalized data. Deseasonalizing data involves dividing the raw data by the seasonal index for the given month. Exhibit 1-33 shows this for the year 1, year 2, and year 3 data. For example, the January year 1 data of 34 units was divided by 2.214, resulting in 15.35 units. The process is repeated for each of the 36 data points. Exhibit 1-33. Generating deseasonalized data. Simple and weighted moving averages. Exponential smoothing. Once the data are deseasonalized, they are ready for use in forecasting with the simple and weighted moving averages and exponential smoothing. The simple moving average is the average of demand from several preceding periods. 3 and 6 month periods are commonly used. For example, the 3-month moving average would be calculated as follows, where M1, M2, and M3 are the 3 most recent months. This is a moving average because it is recalculated using the most recent set of months or other periods, dropping the oldest month and adding the just-ended month to the list. The simple moving average can be useful when demand is relatively constant from period to period. The method can be used to prevent an overreaction to a random or irregular spike or dip in a given month because it smooths out these variations. However, if there is a change in a trend, this method would be slow to respond to it. It would lag the trend, in other words, so is best used when a trend is relatively flat, using more periods. Such as a 6-month moving average will make the method even less sensitive to random variation by smoothing more, but it would also make it lag a trend more. One disadvantage of averaging multiple periods is that data collection and organization can be complex when multiple products in a product family need to be forecasted. The weighted moving average or weighted average forecasting method places weights on the periods being averaged, usually to put greater emphasis on the more recent periods and relatively less emphasis on the more distant periods. Thus, it allows trends to have more of an impact on the forecast. The weights are usually selected using expert judgment and trial and error. While any weighting system can be used, only testing against historical data can prove whether a given set of weights is a better predictor than another set. When calculating the average, you divide by the sum of the weights rather than the number of periods. For example, if the 3rd month out is given a weight of 1, the 2nd month out a weight of 2, and the most recent month a weight of 3, you would divide this 3-month weighted moving average by 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6, for example. Exponential smoothing uses 3 inputs in its equation: the last period's forecast, the last period's demand, and a smoothing constant. A number greater than 0 and less than 1 represented by the Greek letter alpha, which is basically a percentage weighting where 1 equals 100%. One way to calculate exponential smoothing is, using this equation produces a weighted average of previous results. As you increase alpha closer to 1.0 or 100%, you get closer and closer to a naive forecast, with 1.0 being a naive forecast, since it is 100% weighted on last period's demand and 0% weighted on the prior period's forecast. A constant of 0.3, on the other hand, would put 30% of the weight on the last period's demand and 70% on the last period's forecast. This constant smooths out random or irregular spikes or dips in actual demand by placing more weight on the prior forecast. Most organizations select a smoothing constant between 0.05 and 0.5. A constant of 0.05 would give minimal weight to the preceding period's actual demand, while 0.5 would equally weight the actual and forecast results. The constant value is selected by experience, trial and error, and testing against historical data. This method is often used when you want to minimize the lag that exists when trends shift, but like all time series models, it cannot eliminate this lag. Exhibit 1-34 shows how the simple and weighted moving averages and exponential smoothing would be calculated in a worksheet. All of the data shown in the exhibit are still deseasonalized. The data would be entered in columns and formulas would be entered or dragged down wherever the numbers are bold. The last column in the left side version shows deseasonalized actual results. Also in this version, each month's forecast would be created as soon as the actuals for the necessary number of periods become available. Exhibit 1-34. Comparison of forecasts. Deseasonalized data. The smoothing constant selected for exponential smoothing in this example is 0.3. Exponential smoothing cannot be calculated unless the prior period's actuals are known, but you can use the other forecasting methods to project further into the future. To do this, you would substitute forecast data for demand data for those future periods, as is shown in the right-hand version. Note, however, how the forecast quickly becomes repetitive when forecast data are used in place of actual results. After a few periods, everything is based on forecast data, and an average or weighted average of the same 3 numbers results in the same number. It shows how these methods are less useful the further you go into the future. Note that the 3 methods produce fairly accurate results, but there is some variance from the actual results for all 3 methods. The exponential method seems to do better in most periods, but the actual results of 14.64 units cell I-58, is lower than the predicted 15.64 units, cell E-58, which will have an impact on the error for that period. However, the bounce is back to being more accurate in March because of the 70% weight placed on the last period's forecast. Reseasonalizing. Reseasonalizing involves multiplying the deseasonalized data by the given period's seasonal index to find the seasonalized forecast values. In Exhibit 1-35, the deseasonalized data for the moving average, the moving year 4 column, is multiplied by the seasonal index, and the resulting forecast in units is shown in the moving average column, column R. For example, the seasonal index of 2.214 for January is multiplied by the moving average January forecast of 13.99, resulting in 30.97 units, which would be rounded up to a forecast of 31 units. The weighted average and exponential columns are similarly calculated. Exhibit 1-35. Comparison of forecasts, reseasonalized data. Note the February year 4 actual results. Only 29 units were sold. While all of the forecasts were high, the exponential forecast was off by the most. On the other hand, it returns to low amounts of variance right after that month of irregular demand and otherwise has lower error rates. When you are done creating a forecast, it is generally useful to finish by visualizing the data again in chart form. You can also use charts to present the forecast to decision makers since they can make your forecast easier to digest. Exhibit 1-36 shows a chart with both the raw data and the deseasonalized data and uses dark shading to show a one-year forecast of demand using the three-month moving average method applied to the deseasonalized actual demand, which would become available month by month. The resulting forecast is then reseasonalized. Note that the deseasonalized data would normally not be shown in a chart at all since it is not useful for making decisions in and of itself. It is simply used to produce the reseasonalized forecast for demand planning. Exhibit 1-36. Deseasonalized and reseasonalized data with forecast. When trends vary too much for these time series methods to be useful in predicting demand or anything else being forecasted, associative forecasting can be used.